Hey everyone, welcome to the Small Screen Couch Commentary Podcast, where we watch your favorite TV shows, give you our thoughts, and ask for yours. I'm Alex.
And I'm Billy. We're excited to watch and rewatch the best TV shows from start to finish and hope you're ready to take the ride along with us.
We'll talk about the best characters and their stories, reveal some hidden gems, and look for you to do the same.
From sci-fi to comedy, drama to anime, we've got it all covered. So grab your favorite snack and we'll see you on the couch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode six. Season two, episode six of The Boys, Small Screen Couch Commentary.
Little remote action. Working from home.
Yeah, this is the, for those of you that are going to be watching this online, this is the first time we are doing a non-in-person episode ever. Pretty wild.
And I don't think we plan on doing it often, but...
No, yeah. Something we just wanted to make sure that we had in a pinch, and also we just wanted to test some things out for, you know, just technology purposes.
Yeah, we live in the future.
Yeah. We do.
Let's get going, man. So what did you snack on during episode six?
You know what? Your boy was getting down on some chocolate chip cookies.
Dude, very nice. I was close. I was only just Hershey's chocolate bar.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Now, let me ask you this. Was it regular or dark chocolate?
Regular. I'm not an old man.
What? You don't like dark chocolate?
Not really.
Okay.
Apparently, it's better for you, but I ain't about it.
I think it's better for you in the way that, like, wheat toast is better for you than white toast. You know, it's like marginal. It's still not good for you.
It's not the right thing for you. Yeah.
Right. Right. But chocolate chip cookies. I mean, it's my go-to favorite cookie. There's only two cookies in my world. You got chocolate chip cookie and you got Oreo, and then everything else is whatever.
That's only cookies in my brain. I mean, I will say I like those, like, some Girl Scout cookies, like Thin Mints and stuff.
Okay. You know what? Hot take. Thin Mints are trash, and so are all the rest of the Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, my God, dude.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow, dude. All right, let's move on. This is the topic I don't like anymore.
All right. Well, let me ask you then. What was your rating on this episode?
I gave it an 8.0.
Yo. Crazy. No, I did. 8.0 as well. 8.0 as well. I almost dipped back down into Seven Land. But the last, like, I don't know, like 5 minutes saved it for me. Brought it back up into eights.
Yeah, I almost went out of Seven Land too, and I was like, no, it still was a good episode. Like, I enjoyed it enough that it's not in the sevens, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So what route do you want to take here, my fella?
Let me think here. I don't want to go... Let's go with the heroes. Let's go with the heroes.
Now, when you say the heroes, who do you mean? Because the heroes in this show are not necessarily the heroes.
Heroes. Let's go with Homelander.
Okay. The suits.
The suits. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
We've got a couple different prongs here with the suits. Homelander and Stormfront, last we saw, were getting the dirty on. Mid flotation,
yeah, yep,
which is pretty crazy,
and they're definitely feeling the love. So the episodes with it starts with them.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. There's
it's pretty wild.
There's a some guy he just robbed someplace, obviously counting up some cash. Doesn't look like it's a ton of money, but you know, probably a few hundred, few thousand maybe. And he's like in an alleyway, chilling by a dumpster. And of course, you know, everybody's favorite superhero savior, Homelander, just lands right by him. And this was like, I wasn't sure what was going to happen here, because Homelander typically is not, at least from what we've seen, he's not dealing with, you know, small time crooks. And this guy was definitely a small time crook. You know, he's usually stopping like big armored car robberies, hostage situations, obviously, you know, soup terrorists and whatever. So the fact that they had this scene, I was kind of just like, this is a little off.
Yeah, it is weird. Why did they him and Stormfront decide to stop a small-time crook, like you said. But I guess they answer that a little bit. It gets the juices flowing.
They definitely answer the question. I mean, when it first popped up, I'm just like, this is weird. Why is he just, first off, why is he looking for a small-time crook? And then why is he going to do anything? So he's there, tries to stop the crook. Stormfront pops up. She just whacks him, breaks his hand.
Just by smacking his hand. Just by smacking.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very lightly. You know, anybody else does that, a regular human does that, and they're just like, what was that supposed to be? Breaks his hand. The guy's essentially pleading for them to take him to a hospital, and they're like, well, what do we do? Well, we should probably take him to the police. And this is where it starts to get weird then, because Stormfront is just like, oh, well, we could. And then she just starts rubbing on Homelander's man piece real hard. And Homelander's like holding the guy up against the wall. And he's just like,
with his hand on his face.
Yeah, he's like covering his face. And then he's like turns and he starts to like squeeze his face. And it's like the more that Stormfront is doing her thing, the more he's like squeezing and getting harder. And you can, I didn't mean that pause.
Well, I mean, you're right. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
The Homelander's squeezing harder on this guy's head. You start to hear his skull cracking a little bit. And eventually it just gets to the point where poof, Homeboy's head just implodes from Homelander squeezing the crap out of it. And that I'm wondering, did he nut at that point?
No.
Do you think he nutted?
I don't think so. And I was thinking the same thing, and this is bad that this is how deep we're getting into this, but I was like, no, I thought he did too, because like, well, he squeezed and popped his head, you know, at the same time that he finished, but it's also like, then they started going at it afterwards.
Yeah, but he's a two-round champ. Easy, though. It's Homelander.
You think so?
It's Homelander.
I mean, did you see him with Madeline Stillwell? It was like, three pumps
that's
and
true.
Done.
That's true. Yeah, but Madeline was like his, like, that was like his ultimate.
That's like first love.
Exactly. He's a seasoned pro now.
I'm just having fun.
Right. Immediately after this guy's head implodes from Homelander squeezing the crap out of it, they literally just duck into the little doorway and start smashing. And not only are they smashing, but Homelander's got the blood of this guy all over his gloves. And it's like he's rubbing it on her. He's rubbing it in his mouth. Just very, very non-traditional, we'll say.
Us non-suits would have gotten the disease if we did it that way.
Yeah. Starts off very much in the same way that the last episode ended in some ways, with Stormfront and Homelander just continuing their raunchy soup love fest.
Oh, yeah.
But then we see that they're still shooting Dawn of the Seven, and for one, a very important cast member is missing, which we'll get into later. So they're still shooting the movie. Production is still happening, and Homelander and Stormfront are on set
doing an interview.
Yeah. Which,
and I think it's hilarious because they're like, who's the biggest prankster? And, you know, he's cutely pointing to her. And he's like, well, she puts her hand on his lap.
Right. And breaks the touch barrier.
Yes. The whole scene's funny because obviously we know what's going on, but it zooms out of the TV as they're joking and giggling like little kids. And you see Billy Butcher and Kimiko watching the interview. And he looks over at Kimiko and is like, they're fucking.
Yeah, he picked up on it right away. Yeah.
She's like, he could pick up on it. She picked up on it too. I thought that was hilarious because they don't have great interaction, those two.
No.
But them knowing, just they both knew, could read the situation, was hilarious.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. And the whole interview, that scene, was very typical of, you know, what you would see celebrities in real life. You know, and the question about, oh, who's the biggest prankster on the set? That's one of those softball questions that people get all the time.
100%.
So that was pretty funny. A-Train is also on set. And Vought had like created a kind of like a superhero send-off rap song for him. And they're like testing it with him, seeing if he likes it. And he clearly does not. The rap that this guy is doing. First off, it's like, no offense, but it's just a white dude, a nerdy white dude who's rapping the song. And A-Train's just not feeling it. And what's her face? Ashley. She's just like,
it's lit.
Yeah, she's like, isn't it so lit? And it's like, you're using that in the wrong way. But also, you're just, it just didn't sound right coming from her.
What I loved is, so when lit became like a phrase, whatever, 2 years ago, a term, I would say it in a joking way towards Alex, and it would piss Alex off. So this scene was even better for me, because I would use it that way just to make him mad. So,
yeah, I feel like if you get to a certain age or certain, if you're of a certain demographic, you make words uncool. Like it's mm-hmm. like when if you're over 30 and you're saying lit, like by all means use it, but don't think you're cool when you do. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know I'm cool when I do. So
yeah, A-Train not happy about it. And let's see, there's also Queen Maeve, who has a little meetup with the Deep. Now, when we last saw them, he was handing out books for the Church of the Collective, and Maeve was trying to recruit him in whatever plan that she has to ruin Homelander, or maybe not ruin him, but to kind of put him in his place in a way. And we get a little bit more of that plan in this episode.
This quickly answers, I think we both kind of questioned, I forgot why he was involved, why like she wanted to involve him. And this quickly answered, like, why the Deep? You know what I mean? And this quickly answers why she needed the Deep.
Yeah, so she wanted the Deep to try to recover the black box from the plane that went down from Homelander and Maeve's failed attempt to save the plane. Was that season one or was it the beginning of season two? I don't even remember.
No, that was season one.
Yeah, okay. Season one. All right. Yeah. And he could not get the black box, couldn't find it. But then he starts making a fish comment like he always does.
And I think they're a funny bunch of carp. Or whatever.
Was it halibut? It was like, I think.
Yeah.
Halibut.
I love these moments with the Deep where it's just like, he has to talk about how the fish are his friends and their personalities. And everybody's like, shut the fuck up, dude. I don't care. I feel kind of bad in that situation. Like, let the fish have their moment.
Yeah, I mean, as terrible of a person as the Deep is, he does get shit on quite a bit. And I guess that's part of his penance for the terrible things that he's done. But you know what's funny? The more I think about it, I was going to say something, but I'm not going to now.
You can't leave us on that, dude.
So the more I think about it, I'm not saying that he's not a bad person. He is a bad person. But in comparison to a lot of the other soups, he's like tame, you know?
He's real world bad.
Right.
But he's also stupid.
Oh, he's an idiot.
So I think that's where it's like he doesn't know what's right and what's wrong sometimes. Like to him, he thought everything he was doing before this was okay.
I don't know that he did. As far as the stuff he did with women that, you know, he obviously got ousted for, I don't think that he knew that it wasn't wrong. I just think that he never
it's
thought
it's been okay for so long.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. I think he's been doing it for so long. He's like, okay, I know it's wrong, but you know, it is what it is. I think that's the attitude that he took. Not excusing him in any way, shape, or form, obviously.
No, of course not.
But while he couldn't recover the black box, what he could recover was a GoPro. And he admits to me, he's like, I don't even know if it works or not, but, you know, here, this is what I found. So, Maeve is hoping that she can get something from that to incriminate Homelander. So we see now that's what her purpose was for connecting with the Deep. You find out a little bit later in the episode, and we'll get into it, you know, what exactly is on there. But, so on set here, everybody's still making the movie. And We cut back to Homelander in Stormfront. Or no, I'm sorry. I want to still stick with the Deep here. I forgot. The Deep then, as A-Train is being disappointed in his rap send-off video that Vault's going to try and produce for him, the Deep rolls by, and A-Train's surprised to see him. The Deep kind of fumbles over why he's there, but then he basically tells A-Train, like, hey, I kind of know what you're going through, and A-Train's kind of playing off and, you know, playing stupid, and he's just like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, well, if anybody knows what it's like to get kicked out of here, it's me. Mm-hmm. And so A-Train's just like, no, I'm good. Nike is, you know, calling my agent and this and that, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And the Deep's like, oh, well, I guess you don't need his help then. He walks away. And for whatever reason, that piques A-Train's interest. And he says, well, whose help? And the Deep then, he says, would you like a Fresca? And that's you know, that calling sign, that calling card for the Church of the Collective. I still am curious as to what the whole deal is with the Fresca. I'm sure we'll find out eventually, but I want to know.
It's delicious, dude. It's delicious.
I don't think it is.
I'm just kidding. It's not.
It's grapefruit soda. Grapefruit is probably one of my least favorite fruit flavors, if not my least favorite. But yeah, it's not good. It's crazy because my family used to buy Fresca like it was going out of style in the early to mid 90s.
I think everybody did. I don't know how it went out of business.
I don't know. It's crazy. It was so popular, and then it was around for a few years, and then it was just gone. And then it came back in like the, I don't know, like early 2010s or maybe late 2000s, something around there.
I don't remember. I don't have any memory of the comeback. So it wasn't a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do like this with a Deep. It was like a rookie salesman is what it felt like.
It did kind of. It did.
He had his speech ready in his head, and he was like, "Well, guess you don't need his help. No, never mind." And then walks away.
Yeah.
And it just felt like he had that plan in his head before going there and had practiced it.
Yeah, and you know what? He probably did practice that a lot because the Deep, I think, in some ways knows that he's an idiot, and then in other ways, you know, I think he's gaining more confidence as time goes on, so he's less of an idiot as time moves forward. Let's actually keep going here with the Deep and A-Train. Because their you know, appearance is short here, but essentially
I do want to mention, hey, this is like real quick because it's not really a main storyline-ish. A-Train and Stormfront, they have just a few interactions throughout these last two episodes, but they have an interaction here too where she just, you can tell, she doesn't like A-Train. And he's just like...
And A-Train knows why that 100%. She doesn't like him. He's never come out and actually said it, and he's never made it clear to her that he knows that, you know, why she doesn't like him, but the tension is palpable.
Yeah, and it happens in this episode. I think they walk by for a quick second. She just stares at him and gave a weird look. And he's like, you got a problem? She's like, no, no problem at all. So there's something building there too.
Yeah. Absolutely. I wonder if that's ever going to come to a head and if we're going to see some sort of face-off. Prediction from Alex, Stormfront kills A-Train. I don't know. We'll see.
That's a heavy, heavy prediction.
I hope it doesn't, because you know what? A-Train, he's another one like the Deep in that he's a terrible person. But, you know, if you put him in the vacuum of all the soups, he's like on the lower end of the terrible spectrum.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
He's higher than the Deep for sure.
Yeah, I think he's. But up he's there. Still. I mean, he was doing all the Compound V delivery while doing the Compound V. Ran through Huey's girl, didn't care, and then remember he had to murder his chick and did it with ease.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not again not saying that him or the Deep aren't terrible people.
Compared to Homelander,
yeah. Compared to Homelander, yeah. Compared to Stormfront,
I think Maeve's the most like. Closest to being
you think she's
person.
The lowest on the terrible spectrum?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think she's good by any means, but she feels guilt.
She
when
does.
It comes to the stuff she does, and she doesn't want to do that stuff. But
well, A-Train felt a little bit of guilt for killing his girlfriend. But anyway, moving right along, the Deep, you know, he offers A-Train the Fresca, and then the next time we see them, they are eating a meal. They're having lunch. With Alistair, who is the leader of the Church of the Collective. And essentially, you know, it seems like a nice sit-down lunch. and conversation starts, and Alistair tells the Deep to tell Atrian his truth.
Your truths.
Yeah.
Tell me your truths.
And he essentially tells Atrian that he hates his guts, and he has for a long time, that he's been very jealous of him.
Doesn't he say, like, he feels like Atrian doesn't think anything of him or something like that? Like,
I think he alludes to that if he doesn't say that exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Which makes him not like Atrian, and then, yeah.
Right, right. And Atrian is just kind of feeling ambushed, for one. But then Alistair somehow has knowledge, which supposedly did not come from the Deep. But he tells Atrian, Atrian's, you know, brushing them off, about to walk out, and Alistair says, you know, do you really want to walk out when you are going through withdrawal, you had a heart attack, and you're $700,000 in debt? And so Atrian is kind of surprised that he knows this, and he asks if the Deep told him, which I don't know how the Deep would know that anyway, because he's an idiot. No. But Alistair says the church knows a lot of things, and that they, you know, obviously have some influence, and he tells Atrian essentially the same song and dance that they gave the Deep, essentially tell him, hey, we can get you back into the seven. And he tells him to just sit back down.
And let's talk about your truths.
Right.
He does mention that how the other speedster, can't remember his name.
Shockwave.
They're going to give him Atrain's suit. He's like, Atrian is a
trademark.
Oh my, it's a trademark. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, dang, that would suck. What are you going to do?
I mean, you know, it's kind of I can see where they're coming from, wanting to just keep the Atrian name going and just replacing him with someone else. And that kind of thing happens in IRL comics. I mean, you know, you've got a couple different Green Lanterns. You've got a couple different Flashes. There's other people that they don't get replaced in that way. But
their name gets taken from, this one's different. It's like a name, the business that you worked with for so long. It's like, well, yeah, we're taking the name. You have to just go live your life.
Right. Right.
You know, it's something that's out of his control.
Yeah. And so, you know, when Alistair says all this to him, then he sits back down, and I'm wondering where this is going to go. We don't get any more of that. The Deep and Atrian, this is the last scene of them in the episode. So I'm interested to see what they try to do there and how that's going to unravel. It seems like the Church of the Collective is much more influential and powerful than anyone thinks on the surface.
Yeah. Maybe it's like a fucking Marvel Civil War situation building up.
Vought versus the Church of the Collective.
Oh boy.
Maybe. I guess we'll find out.
I don't know.
But you do. So let's go then. I want to go with Maeve, because she also has a short, you know, separate arc here. Then later in the episode, we know obviously she got the GoPro from the Deep. And at one point, Elena is in her apartment with Maeve. Maeve is in the shower. She's telling her, hey, I'm going to get some food. I'm going to Postmates someplace. I forget what she called it. But Maeve is saying, oh, I can't hear you. She's like, where's your phone? I can't hear you. She goes around, gets the phone, opens it in a drawer. First off, who keeps their cell phone like they regularly use in a drawer?
It might have been right next to me in the shower on the sink counter or something.
The situation and how this set up I thought was kind of poor, to be honest.
Doesn't she have her own phone to Postmates stuff?
Right.
Too?
So yeah, that's exactly what that was my first thought. She's like, I'm gonna Postmates this place. Where's your phone? Why aren't you using your phone to Postmates? Do you not have a cell phone? Do you not have a Postmates account? That was just kind of weird. But
maybe
Maeve
has a deal with Postmates, so she gets free delivery.
You know what? Okay. I never thought of that. No. Could be. But yeah, so she pulls Maeve's phone out of a drawer,
which is still connected to, like, that too is the problem. It's connected to the GoPro.
So it's like, first off, your personal device you just have in a drawer somewhere. It's not like it's charging in there or anything, but you have it in a drawer. And on top of that, it is connected to the thing that you are essentially going to be using to try and incriminate someone that you want to screw over. So, of course, in typical, you know, movie TV fashion, Elena sees. Yeah, she gets nosy. She sees the video that the GoPro took from the plane. And it's of Maeve. It starts out with this guy. He's pointing at himself and he's basically saying, Maeve, Queen Maeve and Homelander, they're going to leave us here to die. Maeve is pleading with Homelander to take that lady and her kid. Homelander's saying no. You know, she's saying, just take the kid then. He's like, no, you know, we got to go. We got to go. And yeah, it's all this damning evidence. Elena is pretty shocked. Maeve, of course, comes out right as she's watching this and is trying to plead her case here and say, hey, look, like, this is what I was going to use. I was going to tell Homelander an ultimatum, like, either you leave us alone or I send this to CNN. And she thinks, you know, that that's her leverage, which that was the other part of me in this scene that I was just kind of like, you really think that Homelander's going to care about that necessarily? Not that he doesn't care that she's going to send it to CNN, but he's not going to care about it enough to let you off the hook. Those are my thoughts. I don't know how you felt about it.
Yeah, I don't think he lit. Yeah, I agree. I think we know how important his image is to him, right?
Right.
But this means he would keep her closer, you know? I don't know. I would just leak it.
Yeah, exactly.
How would he know it's her? This is one of those situations where it's not like the Compound B stuff, like where it's like it could have been Starlight and all that stuff. This is like, why would she, how could she have gotten it, you know?
Yeah.
I guess he could have connected it to the deep and things, but.
Could have, but I mean, I agree. I would have just, I wouldn't have used it as an ultimatum. I would just have leaked it and that have been that, you know, rather than just having that as like an ace in the hole, because it's not an ace in the hole. It's maybe like it's like a 10 of spades. It's not an ace, in my opinion.
Yeah. Especially now with where he's at, like he now is learning to like be like, I have this group of people that I want to support me. If the rest want me, great. But it's like,
right. He's building his base, you know, from the tips that he's gotten from Stormfront. So
you get to a certain point, right, it's like they're going to trust you and believe you even if you do something that crazy of not helping anyone. Then he can make an excuse and they all be like, oh, yeah, we believe you.
Right. Yeah. Especially with what happens at the end of the episode, it makes me think even more like, okay, well, that would not matter in the long run. But yeah, so Elena and Maeve, they are maybe on thin ice. I don't know. Elena seemed very disappointed, very shocked. Maeve was trying to, you know, plead her innocence in this situation and showing that she was trying to have Homelander save some people, but it kind of ends ambiguously. You don't really know, like, is Elena okay with this plan that Maeve has Maeve has or not? Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
But then let's get back to Stormfront and Homelander, because Stormfront, that kind of jumps back and forth a little bit with intertwining with what's happening with the boys. So I want to finish them off. Or should we not, because of the reveal at the end? Do you think we should do the boys and then come back to Maeve and Stormfront?
Yeah, let's do the boys and we can just bring Stormfront into the boys action.
Okay.
When it happens.
Yeah. Okay. So the boys, they are meeting up first with Starlight. Or, well, actually, let's start with the flashback, because the episode, when we first see the boys, it's a flashback from 8 years ago, and Frenchie, Cherie, and their friend Jay are just in their apartment getting high. We see here that obviously Frenchie and Cherie and Jay, they're really good friends. They're kind of just talking some things out, and we find here then that Frenchie wants to rob a bank, and he's doing his Frenchie things, and that he's got some stuff in their kitchen. We find out he's making some sort of bomb type device, and they go to rob this bank. We don't find out until a little bit later that Frenchie was unsuccessful, and Frenchie gets caught. He gets bailed out though, or attempts to be bailed out by Grace Mallory. She essentially comes to him and says, hey, you know, you're looking at 25 to life or whatever, but you should come work for me. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about, you know, whatever. He's trying to play things off. she says to him, oh, that's, you know, it's really smart what you did. You gave a guy whose power comes from rage an Adderall bomb. So I guess that's the bomb he was making, with some sort of bomb with drugs. And it calmed this guy down.
Yeah.
And she goes through a list of different superheroes that he has somehow either incapacitated or gotten away from. So we see Frenchie's, you know, again, a smart guy, and he's very creative. So he, you know, just plays the whole thing kind of dumb and is like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't want to have to work for you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Grace Mallory essentially threatens him by saying, well, you know, your friends, Jay and Cherie, they're going to be going to a really bad prison. But if you work for me, then, you know, that won't have to happen. And so Frenchie reluctantly agrees to work for Grace Mallory. And that's how we see that he gets introduced to the whole, you know, situation. There's a few other flashbacks here that I don't want to touch on quite yet, just because there's some bigger implications. But we cut to Frenchie, Starlight, and Huey, and they're trying to get Starlight's implant, her tracker, out of her. And so Frenchie has some sort of, you know, little surgical drill saw type thing, gets her implant out, and they then meet up with Billy and MM, and they... it's not a great interaction, because Billy, of course, obviously doesn't like any Supes. So he's not happy to see her. But she says that she's got some sort of dirt on Stormfront. The last time we saw Stormfront and Starlight was in her trailer when she was snooping on her. And what she was snooping on her about was some files that she saw in her email from Stormfront, conversations between her and Mr. Edgar.
Yeah.
And essentially she finds out that the email conversation that they were having was about a facility that Vought has, and I can't remember the name, but it's already at like
an asylum. Yeah.
Some sort of asylum in Pennsylvania. And the boys are like, all right, well, let's go, you know, check it out and see what's up there. And when they get there, they essentially find out that this facility is one that Vought is using to test out different Supes. The crew that goes into the facility is Starlight, MM. I'm sorry. Well, Starlight doesn't go in. She lets them in because she puts a hole in the fence. But it's MM, Frenchie, and Kimiko. They go in.
So then Butcher and Huey and Starlight are outside waiting. There is a good point here. After Starlight lets them in through a fence, like she just burns it with her powers, Butcher has a 50 cal sniper still aimed at her as she's walking back. And you can tell he's like contemplating shooting her. And it's
right.
Like, dude, she's helping y'all out. Like, what the fuck's going on with you?
Well, and honestly, like, even if he was going to shoot her, like, he already shot her twice before and it, you know, it hurt her, sure, but it didn't kill her. It didn't stop her. So it's like, why would you even bother with that? You know, essentially it knocked the wind out of her. It's not really going to do anything. Yeah. But when they get in, they see that they're experimenting on Supes. Or not experimenting, they're testing them out. We see that there's a bunch of different cameras in these like padded rooms and these cells. And it's a bunch of different types of Supes in there with different types of powers. One guy, he's floating like some melons or some balls or something, and we see that Stormfront is also there, and she's like essentially saying, oh, you know, that you're doing good. And he's like, okay, but I want to go see my family, I want to see my sister, I'm not going to do any more of your little parlor tricks until I can see my sister. And she's like, oh, okay, well, we'll work something out. And there's an orderly that's in there with Stormfront. And as MM and Frenchie are watching on the surveillance camera, MM says, doesn't this guy look familiar? And Frenchie's just like, yeah, he kind of does.
Kind of does, but I can't quite figure it out.
Right, right. Then this orderly pulls out a lighter and roasts this guy who wanted to see his sister. And
kills him.
Yeah, just destroys him. And they realize, oh my gosh, this is Lamplighter.
Yeah, Frenchie loses it.
Right. Right, because as we know from season one, Lamplighter is the person who killed Grace Mallory's grandchildren, who Frenchie was supposed to be tracking, and everyone had blamed him for essentially allowing that to happen. Nobody really knows why. We do find out in this episode why, you know, everything happened the way it did. But they are essentially just freaking out because they had been so removed from that situation. They didn't even, nobody really has talked about Lamplighter. I think it was the first or the second episode of the first season. That was pretty much the last time we heard about Lamplighter because they were retiring him as Starlight was coming into the Seven. So this is the first time that we've even seen Lamplighter or heard about him in a long time. And it's funny because Lamplighter is played by, oh gosh, what's his name? Sean Ashmore, is it? Is that his name?
Is it Sean Ashmore? Yeah, I think so.
I think so, yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, and but it's funny because he played Iceman in the X-Men films.
Yeah, he's doing the exact opposite, which is pretty funny.
Yeah. So that was a kind of a cool thing to see. I don't know if they casted him that way on purpose, but that was pretty fun. Yeah. So they're trying to figure out how they're gonna, you know, get out of this facility. They start taking, I think, like some of the hard drives and stuff from the surveillance room that they're in, and they're about to leave. As they're leaving, Frenchie's on a stretcher. That's how they were kind of sneaking around this facility. And they're leaving, and this was another thing in this episode that I'm kind of just like, really? This was kind of lazy writing. But Frenchie, he crosses paths with Lamplighter as they're leaving. He's trying to, like, not show his face, but Frenchie's just staring at him, and they lock eyes. Lamplighter obviously realizes who he is then, and, like, they kind of get into a little scuffle in the hallway there.
Frenchie is so pissed off, he whips out and gets ready to shoot Lamplighter.
Right, but he only does after he realizes that Lamplighter realizes who he is.
See, I didn't pick up on that. I kind of think Frenchie just lost his cool again. I think, because, again, MM says to him in the surveillance room, stick to the plan.
Yeah, because Frenchie wants to go in there and kill him, obviously.
Right, so that's what he does. He decides, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to do it anyway. I didn't pick up that it was like, oh, he recognized me, I might as well start a fight. I think they still could have made it out if Frenchie didn't.
I think they could have, right. But the way I figured that he realized who he is because as they're crossing paths and they're kind of staring at each other, at one point you see Lamplighter get his lighter out and opens the top, and he's about to flick it. So that's then when Frenchie reacts and hops out of the stretcher and points the gun at him.
Okay. I don't think Frenchie was even... I think that was his plan all along. But I guess you're right. Yeah, I guess he already was getting ready to... He recognized them and getting ready to hit them with the lighter.
Right.
The
lamp lighter. But as this, you know, small... Yeah, that is not a great name. But as this small scuffle, you know, ends, we see then that... Lamplighter, when he did try to shoot some fire at them, he burns open a door from one of the inmates or whatever, the captives there. And it's this girl who comes out, and she's clearly very powerful because Lamplighter's afraid of her. And the boys, they're trying to just be like, hey, we're not with this guy. And another guard from somewhere else pops out with like an AR and shoots her a few times in the back. She just eats those, turns around, puts her hand up and just goes whoosh, and, you know, motions as like she's closing her hand and crushes this guy. Now, I don't know if what your thoughts were on that, but I'm thinking this is the person who killed the deputy director of the CIA. What's her name? Susan Rayner.
Oh, yeah. Possibly, dude. Possibly.
Because the way that like the animation of this guy just getting obliterated, I mean, it's not even like they show him like getting crushed. It's like she closes her hand and just he turns into like an explosion of blood all over
himself,
the walls.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Which was very reminiscent of what happened to Susan's head. I think at first, you know, when that happened and they were trying to figure out who killed her, they were not knowing exactly what it was. And I think it was this chick. I don't know.
Could have been. Yeah, cause she had like some weird. Because she also has telekinetic powers, like, or maybe it's just she can crush things with her hands. Because all the doors then fling open.
Right, right. She lets all the other inmates loose. Yeah, and so it's basically like a mini riot in a prison going on. But it's all these soups that are going around and, you know, killing orderlies and doctors and whatever. But essentially, the boys and Lamplighter, they kind of get away. And then they kind of trap themselves in like a storage area or something like that. And I want to kind of
medication.
Right, right. I want to cut away from here to a flashback of there's a couple flashbacks here that I want to touch on. So the first flashback I want to go to is one where MM and Frenchie, they're kind of talking, and this is from like 5 years ago, I think it was, whereas the first flashback was 8 years ago. And MM is telling Frenchie that he's going to be proposing to his girlfriend. Frenchie's happy for him. Deputy, or not the deputy director, Grace Mallory. She's there. She's saying she's happy for him. Billy's kind of off to the side. He's not really commenting on the situation, but then they're waiting to meet with somebody, and
I want to touch on one thing really quick. Do you notice the relationship between MM and Frenchie is so different? Like,
oh yeah, they're
having a conversation about it, and Frenchie gives them a huge hug, like, you know,
right?
And it's definitely a different dynamic back then.
Yeah, I mean, the first time we see Frenchie and MM interact, they're like about to kill each other. And the big reason for that is because of what happened with Lamplighter.
Yeah.
So they're meeting up with someone, and we don't know who it is at first or why, but Billy is kind of off to the side, Billy Butcher, and they're waiting on someone to come in, and in walks Lamplighter. Terrible costume also, by the way.
Yeah, they all start laughing and giggling. It's so funny to see that.
Yeah, he's
even Grace Mallory is.
Yeah, he's got just like this kind of like leather hooded like a monk robe hoodie type thing, and then there's this huge lamp on a stick that has fire. So I mean, cool power, but just clearly Vought was not doing well with the marketing on this guy.
No, not at all.
But essentially they're working with him somehow. I don't know if they flat out say it, but they've got some reason why they're working with him or why
it's the same old, same old. She shows him a folder. It has pictures, and she's just like, hey, I'm going to show this to the world if you don't do what we say.
Right, right.
So now you're going to be our mole into the vault. But yeah, it's the same old. They have pictures or something.
Yeah, so she tells him, you know, we want you to tell us everything that's going on at the tower and with the Seven. And Billy, of course, says, especially with Homelander. Lamplighter leaves, and Grace Mallory goes and tells French. She says, hey, you know, keep an eye on him. Don't let him out of your sight. So Frenchie is following Lamplighter around. He's going to some sort of party or event. I don't know if it's like a movie premiere or whatever, but he's like kind of doing a red carpet thing. He goes in. As he's going into this party, Frenchie gets a phone call, and it's from Cherie, and she's with their friend Jay, and Jay is overdosing, and Frenchie is trying to tell her, like, hey, take him to a hospital. She's like, no, I need you to come help. He's like, look, this is not a good time. He's in the middle of a mission, basically, and she says, no, I need you. Yeah. And so Frenchie, of course, goes and saves his buddy and saves him from ODing. But in that time that he left and came back, he lost track of Lamplighter then.
Yeah, which then turns out to be the night that Lamplighter killed Grace Mallory's grandkids.
Right, right.
It's important to note before this flashback, they have this conversation that leads to this flashback. And what it is they first start arguing with Lamplighter about it. And Lamplighter's like, I didn't know they were there. I thought it was supposed to be your boss. Once I heard the screams, I felt, you know, I felt bad. Da, da, da. So like the huge thing, like, well, we're not going to feel bad for you. Like, just cause you did it, you were going to kill our boss anyway. Now you killed kids, like, whatever. But then, Lamplighter says, I noticed you were following me that night, but you stopped, you know, why? And then you even see MM in the background. He's like, yeah, why?
Yeah.
And that's when the flashback pops up.
Right.
But yeah, it was a really good scene between Lamplighter. One, Lamplighter is he's not he didn't mean to kill kids. So that was a big point to make there. And then it's also like, okay, well we finally get to find out why.
Right. Yeah. And Frenchie lets them all know that he had left Lamplighter to go save his friend Jay. And so MM then is kind of just like, dude, like, why didn't you say something sooner? We would have let you off the hook. And Frenchie's just like, what makes you think I want to be let off the hook?
I love that part, dude.
Frenchie,
I don't know why, but I was like,
I mean, it's definitely a good line. And this was one of the better parts of the episode. Frenchie's been carrying around this guilt for 5 years because if he would have been tracking Lamplighter, he could have done something to prevent him from killing Grace Mallory's kids. So he's been carrying this guilt, but Lamplighter has too. To make a long story short, they end up getting out of this facility, but not before Stormfront shows back up. And
can we mention real quick before they leave that there was a big fight, and one thing that opened the door was one of the heroes or the supes in the asylum. His superpower is he's got a very long ding-a-ling, and that ding-a-ling can grow on its own, and it broke through a window and it wrapped around MM's freaking throat. And one, so it's funny because I knew what it was right away.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Well, at the beginning, when they're looking at the surveillance footage, you know, of the rooms, they talk about this guy, and MM makes some sort of comment. He's like, says something. He's like, he's got like a big sausage or something like that.
So it's an uncircumcised penis around MM's neck. He gets it off of him, and he's like, was that a dick? And I love Frenchie. He's like, open your mind, man. It's okay. Like, it's great.
Yeah,
like,
don't be so close-minded. Yeah.
Don't be so close-minded. Yeah. And I thought that was hilarious. I want to note, that ain't the last time these two people meet.
Big so Dick Dude? Ready.
Big Dick Dude and MM.
Oh, gosh. Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. they get out of the facility, but not before Stormfront shows back up. And Lamplighter kind of saves the day by, like, going and talking to her, and she's like, you know, what happened? And he's like, oh, one of the doctors messed up some dosages, and, you know, this chick got out, and yada yada. Now, while that's all happening, there's also some action with Huey and Billy and Starlight. As the riot is going on, inmates are kind of escaping, and so they're keeping an eye on things. They're trying to get in touch with the team, but they can't, and one of the inmates gets out, and he's kind of in the field where they're parked. They've got like the van, and Huey and Starlight and Billy, they had some interactions earlier where Starlight, was basically telling
them, like, going at it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they're not happy with each other. But as this inmate is out, Billy and Starlight try to start talking to him to be like, hey, you know, like we're cool. Like, you just go on your way. Like, we're not here to hurt you, and, you know, whatever. This guy's clearly very disturbed. Huey is in the van, and he kind of waves to him, and, you know, they're kind of all just like, what's going to happen here? And this guy uses whatever power he has, creates like a shock wave.
Well, he was in pain. He was just like, oh, and then bam, it like kind of happened.
Yeah. Yeah, he does a shockwave and knocks Billy and Starlight, you know, back. But then also, the van is like going end over end, flipping over. And so Huey's in the van. Starlight and Billy go over to check on him after Billy shoots this guy, kills him dead.
Kills him dead.
And yeah, Huey, he's pops out, and at first you think he's all right. He's just like, oh, I'm okay. But then you see he's got this big piece of shrapnel kind of just stuck in his side, and he kind of passes out. So Starlight and Billy, they're on a mission then to get him to a hospital.
She tries to
cauterize.
But her power needs electricity, and the car juice is gone. And so Billy's like, shit power you have, you know?
Well, you know what? And I don't think I necessarily realized that until this point. Like, I knew she was using electricity, but I didn't know that she like needed to be around it to use her power. So that's an interesting thing there. And I'm assuming that that is going to come back to bite her at some point. Like, they didn't just make that scene happen the way it happened for nothing. I'm thinking somewhere down the line, she's going to be at a point where she really needs to use her power, and she can't because she's not around any electricity. I bet that comes back. Obviously,
I don't know.
Obviously, you know. But yeah, so they kind of skedaddle there. The van is kaput. They can't really use that to get him to a hospital. They start hitchhiking away to get Huey to a hospital. Before we continue with that, I do want to just go back to Frenchie and Frenchie, Kimiko, and MM, and Lamplighter, because essentially, I forgot to mention, we forgot to talk about this, when they were kind of holed up in that supply room, Lamplighter pretty much tells them what that place is, and it's a testing facility, because we all know Compound V is what gives the Supes their powers, and they give it to them when they're babies, and yeah. So essentially, they do it on purpose because babies take the Compound V and it's stable. But when you give it to adults, then it has a variety of side effects. Sometimes they get crazy powers. Sometimes they die. Sometimes they explode. But essentially, it's not stable for yeah. them. So that's what this facility is. They get a bunch of people that don't have superpowers, and they try to give them superpowers by infusing them with Compound V, and then they test them out to see, like, okay, are you stable enough? And it doesn't really seem like they're having much success, because the whole reason Lamplighter is there is because he gets rid of the evidence. And that's essentially what happened at the beginning of the episode. When he killed that guy, he burned him to get rid of him, which, I mean, you don't need Lamplighter to do that. There are crematoriums all over the world. So again, this is why this episode just kind of rated a little bit lower for me, because some of the writing, it was just lazy for
but
me.
He's they're Supes, and he's a Soup. So like that, like, for example, that one that he killed, nothing was wrong with him. He just wanted to see his family, and Stormfront's an asshole. So
sure,
just like,
sure. I
he's
get
like, hey, we're gonna transport you over here, and he sees a crematorium, he's gonna start doing some shit.
I get that. I mean, I don't know. I think just that mechanism in the show and in the plot, I think could have been done better. I think Lamplighter and his little arc here in this episode, there were good parts and there were bad parts. And the overall episode, I think there were good parts and bad parts. And I think that some of the writing in this was just not up to par, in my opinion. But that's just me. In any case, eventually we go back to Billy and Huey and Starlight. They get out to the road. They're trying to flag down a car. This car comes. Starlight is like, hey, we need to use your car. Billy pulls out the old, I'm FBI. And this guy does not believe him. And, you know, Billy is trying to stay calm here in this situation. But as Starlight and Billy are kind of arguing a bit, this guy goes back to his car, pulls out a gun. Billy has his gun out. Starlight's trying to defuse the situation. Billy kind of advances, and then Starlight uses her powers and knocks this guy back. He flies in the air, hits his head on the ground, and she goes over and checks on him. He's dead.
He's a goner. He's a goner.
Yeah, and Starlight is visibly shooken by this, because
she's a little upset.
Yeah. Well, she's as far as we know, she's never killed anybody, right?
Not while we watch the show, no.
So. Yeah. So at this point, she's never killed anyone. So this is the first time she's killed someone, and it was pretty much by accident. But also, you know, she kind of didn't have any choice here. It was either she was going to try to, you know, knock him out or do whatever she was going to do, or he was going to kill Billy and or Huey. Yeah. You know,
or Billy was going to shoot him. So it was still like she was hoping to come out of there with no one dead, but turns out that didn't happen. But so they get in the car, and when she sits down, there's a car seat in the back too. So that kind of,
yeah, that hits her harder because he's got a baby.
But here's the thing. It hits her harder, right? But then when she has this conversation, she's talking to Billy in the car. And she goes, you know, the only thing I could think of is when that guy pulled a gun is, why did you pull a gun, you freaking idiot?
Right.
You know? And then she even mentions, all I saw him was an obstacle in our way. So she's starting to get detached to other people that are in the way of whatever they need to get done. And Billy kind of has a little smirk and she's like, don't do that. Don't do that. Because she still feels guilty about it.
Yeah.
She also is starting to turn into them. Right. She was one of the people who wasn't quite down that road yet. And now she's starting to be down that road. And Billy's like, okay, I'm proud of you for that. And she's like, I don't want you to be proud of that. I don't need that kind of, you know, that's not who I want to be, basically, is what she's saying.
Yeah. She, you know, she's definitely become desensitized to the situation as time has gone on. And she, you know, she kind of feels like she's losing a little bit of herself, I think, because she killed this guy and she feels bad. But I think she thought she would feel worse. And she doesn't.
Exactly. Yeah. Are we going to keep going with the Huey train? Because it's almost over.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to finish that off. They get him to the hospital. He's stable, but they're telling him, like, okay, well, you know, he needs to stay here for a couple of days. And Billy's just like, well, we don't have a couple of days. And then Starlight and him, they bicker a little bit, but then they kind of get a little bit closer, oddly enough.
About Huey.
Right.
I forget how the conversation starts, but then he mentions that he, oh, she smells his shampoo. It's a kid's shampoo.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I see it there. Duh, duh. And then he's like, yeah, he also puts baby powder on his butt because he gets a rash down there.
Desitin cream, actually.
Yeah, desitin cream.
And yeah, which is a diaper rash cream, if for those of you that don't have babies.
Oh, we know.
And also, yeah, Starlight mentions he uses Axe body spray as well.
Yeah.
Which, you know, this is a show in 2019, 2020, you know, something like that. Axe, who was Axe still using Axe at that time?
Do kids still use it? Do teenagers?
I don't know. Like,
that's when I used it.
I used Axe from like 2002 to like 2006, maybe. You know, it was quite a while. It was very popular in the early 2000s, but I don't think I've heard anyone actually use Axe. I don't know if I've seen it in the stores.
Oh, I've seen it in the stores.
I don't know. So it's, I guess still people still so are
assuming,
using it.
Yeah, people still do.
Yeah.
But it's just funny because that's definitely not an adult thing to do.
No, not at all.
But they both kind of like have this bonding moment over Huey, and then they both mention like he's too good. Like he's still a good person. He's too good for us. You know, so she's starting to see she's going down a path of she's not really that good. And here's what's weird to me. Like, I get what they're doing, but Huey isn't really that good anymore either.
No, I said even from the beginning that Huey is – Starlight and Huey were probably the two best people of the non-soups. Well, no, Starlight's a soup. Of the good guys, I guess. But even so, like, Huey was not that great of a guy. He killed Translucent. He's been an accomplice to multiple murders and crimes and whatever. Like, are they doing all these bad things for a good purpose? Yes, but they're still bad things. So it's like, I agree with you. Like, Huey's not that great of a person. Starlight was probably the next one that, you know, was closer to the good side of the spectrum. But even she now, you know, is going down that path.
Yeah, and I think what I rewind to is the A-Train fight. A-Train gets knocked out because of his heart attack. Huey wants him to still live. And Starlight's kind of like, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, he's gonna keep going after you.
So I do feel like Huey is still trying to stay up here as a good guy, like as a good person in general. Like he said that point, like enough people have died already. So he's trying not to fall down that road, but he still does a lot of crazy shit. But
right.
I guess they make a good point. This whole season has kind of turned Huey back into the old Huey, right? Like, even when they hit that whale and he's like, I just don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah,
but yeah,
nice that's moment there.
That's pretty much that with them. I want to go back to Stormfront because when they're on the set of shooting the movie for the Seven, you know, Homelander, he's trying to get some action again. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I gotta go to a meeting. So I have to leave. And he's like, just blow the meeting off, you know, come over to my trailer. And she's like, look, I'm not gonna be gone that long. It's only gonna be about 20 minutes. And he's like, all right, well, where's your meeting? She tells him, oh, it's at the tower. So he's like, all right, I'll wait for you here. So he goes into her trailer to wait for her. and or is it his trailer? Sorry. She goes into his trailer to wait for her, and kind of weird. He has
flowers for her.
He has flowers, and it's just weird because Homelander is not that lovey-dovey type of dude, and you know he has a little card in the flowers, and it says, I think it just says like XO Homelander or something like that. Hugs and kisses Homelander.
Yeah, see, I don't think Homelander has had a real girlfriend. He had Maeve, no. But I think that was planned, right? That was all Vought.
Pretty much, you know, yeah. And then obviously Madeline.
But that was just
a weird situation. Right, yeah. Exactly. So he's never had that like crush type situation. And especially after getting someone like Stormfront, who he, you know, clearly sees is very much like him, he's kind of smitten. And so he's waiting there for her. She's going to her meeting, which we know is not a meeting. She's going to this facility that they're testing the Compound V on grown adults for. But he doesn't necessarily know that at first. So as he's waiting and waiting and waiting, he gets upset. We cut to one point where there's a bunch of fire trucks on the set there. And essentially they're like putting out the fire that was his trailer. And Stormfront comes back and she's just like, hey, what happened to your trailer? He's like, oh, electrical fire. And he's being very standoffish now. He's being very like cold. And she knows this. She's picking up on it. And, yeah. You know, he's just like trying to talk to her and be like, yeah, you know, you said you were going to a meeting at the tower, but I checked. I went to the tower and you weren't there and nobody saw you. And so he's pissed. You know, he's hurt. He's pissed. And he's, you know, upset because she lied to him and he doesn't know why.
Yeah.
So,
and she gets a little defensive. She's like, you're checking up on me. He's like, yeah, I just wanted to see how things were.
Yeah.
But yes, he isn't obviously, and we know he doesn't like being lied to. One, with Madeline Stillwell.
Right. The last time that some lady that he had a crush on lied to him, she ended up dead.
Yeah. With her eyes burnt out. So it's a weird situation because he's like, well, what are you? She's hiding something.
Right.
Right. So that pisses them off. Well, him off.
Yeah. Yeah. So as we're coming towards the end of the episode here with things closing out for this part, we see then that Homelander meets up with Stormfront at her apartment. And she is kind of, you know, wanting to fess up to the situation. And she basically tells him, like, hey, look, like, I understand that I lied to you and you're upset about that, but I want to make it up to you by telling you that I'm never going to lie to you again. And I have another secret that I need to tell you about. And so she goes and opens up like a chest in the corner of the room. And we obviously already know that Stormfront is Liberty, who was a hero from back in the 60s or 70s, something like that.
Yeah.
And so we see that there's the uniform that Liberty had is in the chest, and she pulls out a picture. And it's a more recent picture within, you know, a couple of years, it seems. And it's Stormfront and an old lady, very elderly, probably 70s, 80s, if not a little bit older. And Homelander, you know, he chuckles and he's like, you know, was this a picture of you and your grandmother? And she's like, no, that is my daughter. And Homelander is shocked, but not as shocked as I thought he was going to be. And he kind of just very calmly asks, he says, you know, how old are you? And she says, well, I was born in 1919 in Berlin.
And she says Berlin with a freaking German accent. Solid.
Yeah. Horde accent.
Yeah.
And it's revealed here then that Liberty, obviously, she's much older than we anticipated. Her daughter, who's this elderly person in this picture, had died of Alzheimer's and, you know, old age, because she's clearly Liberty is at least 90 to 100 years old. So, you know, this this granddaughter, or I'm sorry, this daughter of hers was probably in her 70s at least, probably. But she was born in Berlin, and she starts showing Homelander all these pictures. And you can pretty much clearly see that the pictures that she's showing him are of her. They're black and white, but they are pictures with Nazis.
Some important Nazis.
Yeah.
So the two that are the most important ones that you have to go over is Daddy Vaught, the founder of Vaught.
Yes, Frederick, I think.
And so the big story twist here is she married Frederick Vaught.
Right.
But the other person in the picture was Hitler. She was in a picture with freaking Hitler.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, now we're starting to get why she is.
She's racist.
Yeah, we get that. So we get that. And she shows Homelander all this stuff and explains that he even like is like, is that? And she's like, yeah, that's Hitler. And she married Frederick Vaught, you know, when he moved over here, still was with him, I guess. But he gave her Compound V.
Yeah, essentially she is the first soup. She's the OG soup. And it's interesting that, you know, this is back in the, you know, 19... I'm assuming probably 30s or 40s that this happened, because I think they say that in one of those episodes back at the beginning of the season or maybe end of last season that Vaught had been making soups since the 50s. So if she's the first soup, it's got to be some time before that, because Vaught wasn't really like a huge company or whatever.
He was making it for the Nazis.
Right, right. Well, and the interesting thing is too, is that, you know, he had the first successful soup was his wife, and it came out just fine. Like, she didn't have any flaws, she didn't have any crazy weird power. She didn't explode. She didn't die. So I'm wondering, like, okay, well, what happened here that if she was already an adult, he gives her the Compound V. Why is it that everyone after that it was a problem?
She just was one that worked. Like, there's probably a bunch that failed.
You think so?
I think so.
All right.
Which is why I think she's involved in the whole situation right now at the, you know, the asylum.
But yeah, so essentially she tells Homelander, she's like, you know, pretty much says to him, like, we've been trying to make a super army of soups, and you know that's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why, you know, she's trying to bring the company back to what Frederick Vaught wanted. Like, she tells him, Frederick Vaught, that he wasn't interested in the glitz and the glam and, you know, the money and whatever. Like, he wanted to create an army of soups, and not only just soups, white soups.
Yeah.
She basically says that, you know, they've been at war. It's been a culture war, and that her race has been ground in, you know, over the years and eliminated, and that she wants to create this super army, and she wants to let Homelander be the one to lead this super army.
Yeah, blonde hair, blue-eyed Superman. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this, of course, you know, gets Homelander a little randy, and they start to make out.
Him to have power and be a leader, he likes that idea.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy to me that this show is this political, but it's not in a cheesy or corny type of way. Like, the way that they're writing it in as far as this big, huge arc of the entire show is really good. But the more I think about it, the more I'm also kind of like, well, it's not really the show being written that way. It's the comic, you know, it's the original source material that did the good job. They're just bringing it to life. So,
yeah, I would say so. We're going to see a lot more. It almost looks like it will remind you of, I would say, and we're not going to get deep political, but it reminds you of Trump and Biden and like the two sides. Like, there's parts where it's like, there's a lot of like
division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this show gets down to that pretty, There's some pretty weird parts that remind me. It was scary to watch, to be honest.
So, like how much it mirrors real life, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. But yeah, so that kind of ends the arc with the Supes here. I do want to go back to the boys because this is how there's a little part there that we leave off with. So MM, Frenchie, and Kimiko, they had gotten out of the facility. MM's on the phone with Billy. You know, they're kind of updating each other. It's funny, at one point, too, Frenchie's like, tell him about the big dick around your neck.
And MM's like, Frenchie.
Yeah, and Billy's like, what is he talking about? But they have like an ambulance that they're in the woods with. And MM tells Billy that he's got to go because he hears a car pulling up. And at first, I was kind of like, who could this be? Because MM looked kind of scared. Or not scared, but like concerned, like he didn't mm-hmm. know who was coming up. And we come out and we see that it's Grace Mallory. And I didn't kind of really realize it, but she hadn't obviously seen anyone else as far as the boys. She's only really interacted with Billy. So she's on good terms with MM because MM's just that dude, good guy, you know, yeah, all around relatable dude. But she's really still not on good terms with Frenchie, obviously, because of what happened to her grandkids. But she comes out, she's got a gun, and she's like, where is he? And Frenchie's like, hey, I just want to say, you know, condolences for your grandkids. I know it couldn't be at the funeral. She's like, where is he? So, you know, we kind of get the sense of who she's looking for. She's looking for a lamplighter. They have him in the back of the van and or the back of the ambulance. And so they open up the doors, and she points her gun at him. And you know, he's basically telling her, like, hey, you know what? Go ahead. Kill me. You know, you'd be doing me a favor. Put me out of my misery. And yeah. She's struggling. Like, she wants to kill him. She really, really does. And Frenchie, at this point, you know, he steps in. And he's telling her, you know, hey, look, aside from you, like, I'm the person that wanted to kill him the most, like, after you. And I'm pleading with you, like, not to kill him. Because, truthfully, if you really want him to suffer, you got to let him live. Because killing him is just taken away from he says the way you're going to punish him isn't as bad as the way he's been punishing himself, you know, because yeah. obviously he feels the guilt of having killed her grandkids.
Yeah. And Frenchie he knows that feeling as well. So.
Right. Right. So Grace Mallory kind of she calms down a bit and she says, OK, well, you know, if I don't kill him, what do you propose we do with him? And that's kind of where we leave off. With the episode.
Yeah, it ends with the chick who squeezed that orderly to death getting into a random car, hitchhiking and getting in a car. So she's...
Yeah, she escaped, obviously, and so she's out there now.
Later. Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much the episode here. Two episodes left, and I kind of figured with... the last episode, you know, that this was either going to go one of two ways. Either the rocket ship was going to start off here and we were kind of just going to have that upwards trajectory for these last few episodes, or there'd be a little bit of a lull. And there was a little bit of a lull with this episode, but not a bad episode. You know, as much as I've criticized it throughout us talking here, it was a decent episode. The bombshell of Stormfront at the end kind of saved things in my opinion, but yeah.
It was a lower episode compared to other boys episodes.
Right.
So, yeah, right. 100%. Yeah, I mean, we know what happened. Same thing as last season. We had a downturn and then it went up. You know, we've got the penultimate episode next week. So
I hate you. Don't say that word. I hate
you. You should never have told me you hated it.
I know, because now you're just going to say it all the time.
Every time we get to a penultimate.
I hope you forget eventually. You probably won't, though.
No. Something I do remember.
But yeah, so we've got this episode and two more left in season two, and then we're going to jump right into season three. In season three, another eight episodes, and after that, we're going to jump right into Gen V, and by the time we're done with Gen V, we will be right in time for season four of The Boys. So I'm excited. I'm excited for us to get through season three because, one, that'll close the gap then between you and me because you've never watched any of Gen V, and... two, that's just one, you know, a little bit closer to new stuff that everybody will be on the same page then. Everybody will be waiting week to week.
Yeah, I'm excited to be on the same page as you, but I'm really excited to be on the same page as everyone else. So now it's a conversation for all of us each week, you know. So that's really
Right,
fun.
right. Agreed. All right. Well, tune in to our next episode when it comes out. If you're listening to this one now, it's a little bit later than we usually would have had it, but had some things going on. We had some holidays, and so we're trying to get through and get back on track. But yeah, we'll be releasing new episodes. Actually, after this, episodes are no longer going to come out on Sundays. I'm actually, by the time you hear this, it'll probably be out on a Monday. But episodes of The Boys are going to be switching to Mondays. We are finishing up, or well, by the time you've heard us, we'll be done with Avatar, which was normally on our Friday slot. There's a new show going in there, which we revealed already is Fallout, the series that's going to be premiering on April 11th, April 13th, something like that.
April 11th, I believe.
And that's going to be taking the Friday slot of Avatar. And yeah, we're going to get some other show at some point as well. But yeah, we are looking forward to more of everything. We are getting a lot more traction on our TikTok. So if, excuse me, if you're somebody that has been commenting on our TikTok, liking our videos, sharing our videos, thank you so much for that. And yeah, we're
Yeah,
hoping to
keep
bring you
coming.
more.
We like having those conversations, so
Yeah,
bring it
yeah.
on.
We've got some ideas for some other type of content surrounding TV and or maybe film moving forward here. So keep an eye out for that as well on all of our socials.
All right.
All right, y'all. Have a good one.
Peace.
Peace.